Morning. Today's Dafim Pesachim Chav Hey. We're here in the second parak of Pesachim, discussing Isuri Achili, Isuri Hanah, obviously as it relates mostly to Chametz, as that is the main topic of the Masechta. But also in addition to that, we are discussing in the context of other Isurim as well. The beginning of the parak, we went through an assortment of Isuri Achila, most of the Isuri Achila of the Torah, and discussed the source of whether or not it's Asur Ba'Achila Uve Hanah, or it's just Asur Ba'Achila. And what does the Torah inform us when the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat it? Does that include eating and benefiting, or does it just include eating? After a lengthy discussion of the Gemara that took us about three blad of Gemara, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet as well, yesterday's Daf. So when all said and done, the positions are settled and there's mostly agreement. There's a couple of points of disagreement. There is a Shita in Chametz BePesach that it's Mutter Bahana, but the consensus viewpoint, the majority viewpoint, is that chametz bePesach is asur b'achila uvehana. One is not allowed to eat and benefit from chametz. We discussed other aspects of isuri achila over the course of the last couple of dapim, and the last topic that we covered on Chavdal Amud Beis is that if the Torah tells us that one is not allowed to eat a food, so what if I eat it in an unusual fashion? What if the Torah says I'm not allowed to benefit? But the benefit that I'm receiving is coming in an unusual fashion. So that the Gemara concluded yesterday with the B'Shem Rav Yochanan, that one would be pater. One would not carry with it the liability of eating or benefiting if they're doing so in an unusual fashion. Pater generally means that there's no punishment on the other side of that transaction, of that violation. But nevertheless, it's still prohibited. That's generally speaking what pater means. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're on Chav Dal Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Amar Abaye. Amar Abaye Kol Modim, it is about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar Abaye Kol Modim B'Klai Kerem. So when it comes to the Issur of Klai Kerem. Now oddly enough, interestingly enough, Klai Kerem is an Issur that the Gemara has not spent time really discussing. Meaning we discussed a good number of the Isuri Achila and whatever. Klai Kerem just simply did not become part of the discussion. But anyway, you have a vineyard and you plant other seeds in the vineyard. So what you have now is what's called Klai HaKerem. You have a mixture of seeds of the vine and other seeds as well. And the Torah says under those circumstances, you're not allowed to consume its yield. Whatever growth comes as a result of that mixture. So one is not allowed to eat it. One is not allowed to benefit from it as well. How do I know it's Asur B'Hana? So Rashi over here on the bottom of the Amud quotes the Pasuk, Pentikdash Hamalei, see the Rashi, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Pentikdash Hamalei, Demashma lo sehanem imenu. The word pen is a lav, Rashi says at the end of that Rashi. And Tikdash Hamalei means that you're going to have to burn it. Right? Kadosh obviously means sanctified, but in this case over here, it means it has to be destroyed. And Rashi says, by virtue of the fact that it says it has to be destroyed, so clearly what's meant by that is that you're not allowed to get benefit from it. Rashi writes, Demashma lo sehanem imenu, ela tisrafeno. So what you have to do is you have to burn it. So, if I have Klai HaKerem, so it is Asur B'Achila and it's Asur B'Hana, and Abaye now is going to give us a Chiddush within Klai HaKerem. Abaye says, we're back in the Gemara, we're going to start again. Amar Abaye, I'll call Modim, B'Klai HaKerem, Shalokin Alam, Afilu Shalokin Derech HaNasan. So despite the fact that we concluded in yesterday's daf that when it comes to Isurei Hana'a, in order to violate the Isur of the Torah, one has to benefit from it in the usual fashion. So, but when it comes to Klai Kerem, even if you're benefiting from it in an unusual fashion, so you are still subject to Malkus. My time and the reason being, Mishum Delok Sibuhu Achila. Because the Torah does not say, don't eat Klai HaKerem. Meaning the conclusion of the Torah is going to be the same. The Torah tells us that I have to burn it, meaning that I can't get benefit from it, and it goes without saying that I can't eat it as well. But the Torah never phrases it in using the language of Achila. Consequently, the Isser of Klai Kerem, argues Abaye, is an Isser that is going to be Asur B'Achila, and since it's not guided by the principle, by the wording of Achila, so therefore one is going to be violating it, even if they're eating in an unusual fashion, even if they're benefiting in an unusual fashion. That's Abaye's Chiddush as it relates to Klai Kerem. The Gemara wants to see whether or not this is a provable thesis or it's not a provable thesis. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges with a Braisa. Yisi ben Yehuda Omer, Minan labasar b'chalav shu asur. How do I know the basar b'chalav is asur? How do I know the basar b'chalav is asur? That's a funny question. The pasuk in the Torah tells me that basar b'chalav is asur. When you take meat and cook it together with milk, So that is an Isser of the Torah. And how does the what is the Gemara doing over here, asking the question of how do I know that it's Asr? So obviously, as we'll see in the context of the Brice over here, we know that Basar B'Chalav is Asr, but the Torah repeats three times, Lo Sivasho Gadiba Chalav Imo, that you're not allowed to cook a kid in its mother's milk. And we know that there are three Isurim. There's an Isur of Achila, Isur Ana, and Isur of Bishul. Now, you probably remember, I know I do, the Gemara in Chulin Rashi brings it down on Chumash, that how do I know these three Isurim of Achila, Bishul, and Ana? Especially when you consider the fact that every time the Torah mentions it, the Torah just simply says, Lo Sivashel Gediba Chalav Imo. You're not allowed to cook a kid in its mother's milk. So how do I know that there's an Isur Achila and Isur Ana as well? So the Gemara in Chulin says it's by virtue of the fact that it's written three times. So the three times are reflective of the three different Isurim. Achila, Hanan, Bishul. Good. That's the Gemara in Chulin. Over here, however, the Gemara is going to take us down a different path. Meaning, the conclusion of this price over here is going to be the same conclusion. We're just going to go in a different path in terms of how we get there. How do I know that in addition to the Isur of Bishul, there's also an Isur Achila and there's an Isur Ana as well? So that's the Braisa. Now, again, by the way, so that we don't lose a forest in these trees. So what we're trying to gather over here in this Braisa is how do I know that Abaye is correct? That when it comes to Kalei Kerem, one is violating the Isur of the Torah, even if it's consumed or benefited in an unusual fashion. That's Abaye's Chiddush, and the Gemara is going to quote this Braisa, and we're going, and eventually, it's going to take a little bit of time, but eventually it's going to come around to Kalei Kerem, and then we're going to ask a question on Abaye. Okay, so it is a developed question, so let the Gemara develop the question. So let's start off. How do I know the Basar B'Chalav is Asr? And now we understand the Gemara's question over here, the Braisa's question over here, is this Achila, Isur Ana? Namar kan ki am kadoshata. It says regarding Basar B'Chalav that you have to be a holy nation, v'nemar lahalan. And later on, when the Torah describes Trefa, it says, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. Man lahalan Asr af kan Asr. So when it comes to Trefa, which is the second pasuk cited over here. So we know that it's Asr B'Achila, same thing with Basar B'Chalav. And this would seemingly be called a Gzera Shava. We have Ki Am Kadoshata by Basar B'Chalav, Ya Anshe Kodesh Ti Yulin by Trefa. So it sounds like a Gzera Shava. Ein Li Ala B'Achila B'Hanami Nine. Good. So we know Trefa is Asr B'Achila. We also know, right, we've discussed it already now in our sugi here in the second parak of Pesachim, that Trefa is Mutter B'Hana. And how do I know that Basar B'Chalav is Asr B'Hana? So Minayin Amad Kav HaChomer. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that Basar B'Chalav is going to be Asr B'Hana. So we're gonna work with the logical argument. So Ma Arla Shalo Nevda Be'Avera. Now when it comes to the Isra of Arla, no Avera was performed. Arla, the first 3 years after the tree is planted, the fruit is going to be prohibited. Now, you didn't do an Avera when it comes to the Isra of Arla. In fact, you did what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to plant a tree, right? The JNF is right. Right, plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael. So it just happens to be that for the first 3 years of fruit production after the tree is planted, so it's Asr. And then we know already when it comes to the Isur of Arla, this already we established a couple days ago in the Daf, Asura Bahana'a. So there, when it comes to Arla, there was no Isur that was violated, and yet the conclusion is that Arla is Asr Bahana'a. Basar Chalav Shenevda Ba'Avera in a din. So when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, where an Avera was in fact done, you cook the meat and milk together, which in of itself is an Avera. So therefore, it goes without saying that for sure it should be Asr B'Hana. Good, so it's a straightforward Kav HaChomer. The Gemara says, so we are using Arla as a base, as the Kal, to help us arrive at the conclusion that just like Arla is going to be Asr B'Hana, Basar B'Chalav, which is more Chamor, so for sure it's going to be Basar B'Chalav. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Mala Arla Shekein Lo Haisa Lo Shasa Kosher. So look, if you're comparing and using a logical deduction to get from point A to point B, so it has to be that that A is more kal. And the Gemara says, I don't know if that's right. Mala Arla Shekein Lo Haisa Lo Shasa Kosher. So the Gemara now asks a pircha on the top of Chafei Amid Aleph, and that is when it comes to Arla. You know, Arla never had a moment where it was acceptable. It was fine. Meaning, let's go over the life of a tree. You planted the seed; it grows, starts growing into a tree. Now this tree starts blossoming and it produces fruit. The moment the fruit starts blossoming, the moment you see the buds of the fruit, already it has an Isur of Arla, right? The Isur of Arla, by the way, is only on the fruit; it's not on the tree. So the Isur is now from the point of inception. Literally, from the moment that the fruit grows down, it's going to be usher. And that's not true when it comes to basar b'chalav. So ma'la'ala shekein lo ha'isa shasa kosher, tamar b'basar b'chalav sha'isa lo shasa kosher, but by basar b'chalav, it did have a shasa kosher. Now this point over here is admittedly going to be a little bit tricky. Basar b'chalav had a shasa kosher, there was a time when it was mutter. What time is that when it's mutter? So Rashi writes over here, Rashi's on the top of the Amud, so he writes that basar b'chalav, tamar b'basar b'chalav, second line down, tamar b'basar b'chalav sheyesh lo shasa kosher, kodem shenitan b'chalav. Well, you know, before you put the meat in the milk, so the meat is mutter, and the milk is mutter, and that's the shasa kosher of basar b'chalav. Now, if you think about this Rashi, which obviously that's what we're supposed to be doing now, so if you think about this Rashi, you realize, well, that's a shas ha-kosher for basar b'chalav? No. I mean, Rashi obviously is arguing yes, but it's difficult to understand. Before you put the meat into the milk, so you don't have basar b'chalav, you have basar, and you have chalav. And then when the two come together, so the Torah is mechadesh, that now we have a new entity called basar b'chalav, and now it's asur. You could make the argument that prior to the mixture, it's not a shas ha-kosher of basar b'chalav, it's just that I don't yet have basar b'chalav. Okay, and so obviously Rashi over here needs an explanation, he needs a defense, but for our purposes right now, we're gonna continue, but it's a challenging Rashi to understand how we're calling basar b'chalav before they get mixed together, before they get cooked together, how are we calling that a shas ha-kosher? But the Gemara is doing that. Good. So the Gemara says, so we can't compare Arla to basar b'chalav. So the Gemara says, okay, so we can't compare Arla, or let's say it better. I can't make a kavachomer from Arla to basar b'chalav because Arla did not have a shasa kosher and basar b'chalav did in fact have a shasa kosher. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So again, the purpose of the braisa over here is to teach us that basar b'chalav is asur b'ana. How do I know it's asur b'ana? The fact that it's asur b'achila, so to that the Gemara says we have a gzera shava, linking together basar b'chalav to treifa. But now going on to the next step, how do I know that it's also going to be asur b'ana? So a failed attempt to try to learn a kal v'chomer from Arla. So the braisa continues. Chametz bePesach yuchiach shailo shasa kosher v'asur b'ana. So when it comes to chametz bePesach, where it did have a shasa kosher, now this happens to be easier to understand, a lot easier to understand, right? Chametz prior to Pesach obviously is chametz, but it's mutter. And then when Pesach comes around, same chametz, now it's asur. So chametz clearly had a shasa kosher v'asur b'ana, and of course we know. That is the point that we've been hammering home now for the last three dapim of Pesachim, and that is chametz is asur b'ana. Mala chametz bePesach shekein enosh kares, tamar bebasar b'chalav shekein enosh kares. So we're trying to develop now a relationship between chametz bePesach and basar b'chalav, just like chametz bePesach is asur b'ana, so to basar b'chalav is asur b'ana, to which the Gemara immediately deflects. How can you compare the two? Chametz bePesach, the iser of chametz bePesach carries with it an onish of kares. That's not true by basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav is only a lav. So I can't develop a halacha from chametz bePesach and head towards basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav is more kal. It's not more chomer. In terms of the onesh, the chomer ha-onesh. So the Gemara says, klai kerem yochichu. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try this now. Let's go to klai ha-kerem. And by klai ha-kerem, she'ein enosh kares. Now, if someone were to eat klai ha-kerem when you take other seeds and plant them in a vineyard, and then you eat the yield, so it's an isser in the Torah, but it doesn't carry with it the kares penalty. V'asur b'hana. And it's going to be asur b'hana. Okay, and why don't we say the same thing now regarding basar b'chalav, which should also be asur b'hana. Now, we're going to awkwardly stop over here in the braisa. Now, there obviously is more to the braisa. And Rashi over here cites, if you want to see more of this braisa, go to the Gemara in Chulin, where we're going to finish the thought of the braisa. In the meantime, however, the Gemara pauses right now here at this point in the braisa, because the whole point of our bringing this braisa is just to simply amplify that Abaye, you said that when it comes to Klai Kerem, one is going to be violating the Isser of Klai Kerem, even Shaloka Derech Hanasa. Why? Because when it comes to Klai Kerem, the Torah doesn't say, doesn't present the Isser using the language of Achila, and so therefore the Isser of Klai Kerem will be arrived at even Shaloka Derech Achila, even Shaloka Derech Hana. That was the Abaye's Chiddush. And now, as we're just going to pause at this point in the Braisa, now let's think about this for a moment. So if Abaye is right, so what does that mean? We're trying to compare Klai Kerem to basar b'chalav. How can I compare Klai Kerem to basar b'chalav? Klai Kerem has got this unique feature in that it's going to be also even Shaloka Derech Hanasan. It's not true by basar b'chalav. Ostensibly, it's not true by basar b'chalav. So how can I compare the two? And meanwhile, the Braisa was very comfortable comparing the two. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. We'll see it inside. So when it comes to Klai Keren, so one is going to be a violating it, even if it's Shelo Kederech HaNasan, even if it's an unusual fashion. Why didn't the Braisa make that point of differentiation between Klai Keren and Basar B'chalav? The Abai, now what Abai will tell you is as follows. You think that's a question against me? No, it's not. V'abai tomer b'mai. So tomer b'basa b'chalav. Look, let's think about what we're doing. We're comparing klai kerem to basa b'chalav. So she'ein lokin alav ela derech hanaso atu b'basa b'chalav achila ksiva bay. Let me ask you a simple question, a really good one. When the Torah introduces us to the Isra basa b'chalav, does it use the word achila? The answer is no. Lo sivashel gedi b'chalav imo. You're not allowed to cook a kid in its mother's milk. The Torah's introduction to basar b'chalav is not via achila, but rather it uses a lashon of bishul. So Abai says, I'll tell you what, the reason why the Braisa compared the two, and the reason why the Braisa wasn't bothered about the comparison, is because basar b'chalav is just like klai akerim. Just like klai akerim is asar b'achila, afilu shelo kederech hanasa, even if you benefit from it in a usual fashion, because the Torah doesn't say the same, it doesn't use the word achila. Same thing is true by basar b'chalav. Abai says, actually, it's a great comparison. So the ve'idach, now the Gemara says, now, for the person who thought that the question was a valid question, right, how is he going to defend now his question? Meaning Abai now has just made an outstanding point. And now, how is the maksha, how is the one who thought the braisa was difficult, how does he defend his question? Now the Maksha thought, well look, let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa. What did the Braisa do? The Braisa compared Basar B'chalav to Treifa. Now when I first prepared the Gemara, I got so confused because the Pasuk that was quoted, Kiyam Kadosh Ata, and the second Pasuk, Anshe Kodesh Tzion Li, that was regarding Treifa. And the Gemara, the Braisa's first comparison was Basar B'chalav to Treifa. And the Gemara over here is saying, well, look what the Gemara did. The Gemara compared Basar B'chalav to Nevela. And I was confused because I thought the Gemara was confused. Rashi settles that issue. Rashi says that, Rashi writes over here, Nevela achila ksiva bei Nevela lav dafka kamar. Right? The Gemara said Nevela over here, but don't read the Gemara is so exacting. I know, that's funny. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But in this context over here, the Daha Mitrefa Gamarin Lav. We learned it from Trefa, Nevela Trefa. They're very similar to one another. Now, they're not the same, but they have a similarity to one another. And so you can see that the Gemara, when describing Trefa, the Gemara here calls it Nevela. Anyway, the Maksha thought that that when the Gemara originally compared, the Braisa originally compared Basar B'chalav to Trefa, well, look, we know Trefa, that's an Isra Achila, and the Torah uses the word achila when introducing us to treifa, so the same thing is true by basar b'chalav. That's what the Maksha thought. And Abai, back in the Gemara, Abai la'achilo kasav achila begufo lomer shalokin alav afilo shalok kederech hanasan. And Abai says, okay, that's a fair point, but my point is just simply better, which is that when the Torah introduces us to basar b'chalav, it never uses the word achila. The Torah says lo sevasho gadi b'chalev imo, and therefore it has the same characteristic as klai akerem, just like klai akerem is going to be asr afilu shlo keder chanasa. Same thing is going to be true by basar b'chalav as well. Okay, so the Gemara tried to use this braisa as a way of disproving Abaye, and Abaye will just simply come back at you and say, no, the braisa doesn't disprove me. In fact, if anything, maybe even supports me that the klai akerem is asr afilu shlo keder chanasa because the Torah doesn't use the word achila. Actually, same thing by basar b'chalav. Continuing in the Gemara, v'lifroch malaklai kem shekin lo haisa la shasa kosher. As long as we are according to the Braisa, and as long as we're attempting to understand the Braisa, the Gemara now wonders out loud, you know, we introduce klai akerem, and the Braisa doesn't say, well, you know, klai akerem would be unusual because it didn't have a shasa kosher. Basar b'chalav, as the Braisa already established, does in fact have a shasa kosher. Now, we did struggle a little bit to understand that. What does that mean? Basar b'chalav had a shasa kosher, but I quoted Rashi and I attempted to explain Rashi. Anyway, but by basar b'chalav there certainly is a shasa kosher. Now by klai akerem, the Gemara didn't differentiate. When the Gemara didn't say, you know, klai akerem does not have a shasa kosher, what it sounds like is klai kerem does in fact have a shasa kosher. Now, how does that work exactly? So the Gemara explains. Amar Rav Ada bar Rava Zosa meres klai kerem ikaron ne'esarin ho v'haisalam shasa kosher kodem ashrasha. So the Gemara says, so now when it comes to klai kerem, here's how we're going to understand how the iser in fact works. You have a vineyard, and what you do is, what you're not allowed to do is that you're not allowed to take another seed, a wheat kernel, and plant it in the vineyard. Now, when you take the seed and you put it into the ground, at that point in time, so you did violate the iser, but you haven't actually yet achieved any iser, meaning you don't have a resulting iser. When does the iser start? So what the Gemara now is pointing out over here is that it starts at the point of Ashrasha, when the seed in fact takes root. Meaning putting the seed in the ground is, in this case, we'll say it literally, you're literally planting the Isser, but you haven't yet done the Isser, you haven't yet accomplished the Isser. The Isser only comes at the point of Ashrasha. Why is the Gemara forced its hand to say this? Because again, the Braisa does not say by Klai Kerem that it didn't have a Shasa Kosher, which means then, deductively, that Klai Kerem does have a Shasa Kosher. So how do we understand that Klai Kerem has a Shasa Kosher? So it must be that when the seed is in the ground, so at that point in time, it is literally and figuratively, the seed has been planted, but we don't have Isser yet. When does Isser materialize? Only when it takes root in the vineyard. Then and only then do we have Isser. So that means to say that there was, in fact, a Shasa Kosher. Okay. The Gemara over here now, the Gemara is going to get a little bit detailed in Klai Kerem, and we'll be here for just a couple more minutes. The Gemara continues, Mesa Rav Shmaya, Amavir Atzitz Akuv Bekerem, Im Hosif Masayim Aser. So over here, a Mishnah in Kalayim. The Mishnah in Kalayim describes the following. You have a pot. It has holes in the bottom. And as we've said time and again, every time you have a pot with holes in the bottom, so we assume a yanika nourishment comes from the ground via the air into the pot. Okay? Modern botany supports this, does not support this. That doesn't really bother me. It'd be interesting to know, but that's the assumption the Gemara goes in to all these cases of the holy pot, the pot with the holes on the bottom. Anyway, so you take a atzitz nakov, it's seeds planted in this pot with holes on the bottom, and you are now walking through a vineyard with this pot. Imhosif masayim aser. So now, if there's growth, meaning there's actual growth now in the plant, in the pot, whatever you're growing in the plant, right? Wheat, barley, whatever the case is. So if there's actual growth in the actual plant itself and the seeds themselves, so then there's going to be Isser. Now, how much growth are we talking about? 1 to 200. So that is the ratio of bittul as it relates to klai hakerem. Meaning to say that if the new growth is just a fraction, and when we say a fraction, by the way, we're talking about a half of a percent, half of a percent greater. Meaning 1 in 200 now is going to be the ratio in which if I have 1 to 200 or greater than 200, so then there's going to be bittul. But anything less than that, and that there's not going to be bittul, and that means to say now that it all becomes usser. Now that's a tremendous ratio. How do we arrive at that ratio? So there's a really interesting Rashi right here in our daf. Rashi says that we know the ratio of bittul when it comes to truma is 1 in 100. Now truma is usser b'achila, but truma is not usser b'hana. Again, a point that we made just a couple days ago. So if the ratio of bittul for truma is 1 in 100, and now klai hakerem is usser b'achila uvehana'a, so that is, now this is going to be a little bit of funny math over here, but that's 2 times more usser. Okay, in other words, isser achila is, let's say, x, and isser achila, isser hana, that's 2x. So if the ratio of bittul when it comes to truma is 1 to 100, so the ratio of bittul when it comes to klai hakerem is going to be 1 to 200. Good. That's Rashi over here. Rashi, in fact, quotes the Sifri that arrives at that point. Okay. So the point is, however, let's just get to the main point of the Gemara, which is that when we have actual growth in the seed, as the seed now is going over the vineyard, so then and only then are we going to have Isser. So the Gemara says, so now we are all a little bit confused. Meaning we talked about where I took a seed and planted it in the vineyard, and we said as long as the seed takes root, when the seed takes root, while it's still in the ground, so now you're going to have Isser. And now we're saying that no, in order to arrive at Isser when it comes to Klai Kerem, I need growth in the actual seed itself, meaning the actual plant itself. So the Gemara says, "Hosif in lo, hosif lo." Okay, and that sounds a lot different than the Isser beginning at the point of Ashrasha. So Amar Rava Trei Kraik Sivi. So Rava says, yeah, when it comes to Klaya Kerem, actually Klaya Kerem breaks down to two different types of Isurim. Ksiva Zera v'ksiva Maleya. The Torah describes Klaya Kerem and the Isser vis-a-vis the Zera, that's the seed, and the Maleya and the actual growth itself. Hakei tzad Zerua mi'karo v'ashrasha. Meaning if I already have a vineyard in the ground, and I'm taking the seed and I'm putting it in the vineyard, in the ground, in the same ground as the vineyard, so then the issue begins at the point of Ashrasha. So, Zerua Uva, Hosif in Lo, Hosif Lo. However, if the seed is planted already in another ground, and then I'm bringing the ground close to the ground of the vineyard, i.e. the case of the pot, like we just described, so there, that's the second category of the Isser Klai Kerem, where the Isser is only going to materialize only when there's new growth in the actual plant itself. Okay. Fine. I'd kind of takes us now to the end of our sugya of Shelo Kederech Hanasan. So again, so now let's put a bookmark in the Gemara right over here. So as far as Abai is concerned, Abai is Mechashim, when it comes to the Isser of Klai Kerem, so the Isser is going to be Afilu Shelo Kederech Hanasan, which is a tremendous chiddush, because yesterday's daf, Rav Yochanan taught us that any time the Torah introduces us to an Isser using the word Achila, so the only way that one violates the Isser is only Biderech Achilaso, or by Isuri Hana'a, only Biderech Hanasa. You have to get benefit from it in the usual fashion. However, when it comes to the Isser of Klai Kerem, so Abai's Mechadesh, that the Isser of Klai Kerem would take place even if it's Shelo Kederech Hanasan, simply as a result, as a function of the fact that the Torah does not use the word achila when describing the Isser of Klai Kerem. And the Gemara said the same thing, Abai will tell you the same thing is true by Basa B'chalov. The Torah does not use the word achila over there. The Torah says, Lo Sivashel Gidi B'chalev Imo. Comes out now that for Abaye, Klai Kerem, Basa B'chalov, one would be violating the Isser, subject to Malkus, even if it's Shelo Kederech Hanasan. That's our first point of the Gemara today. And now we move on. Chafhei, Psachim Daf Chafhei. So this is going to be one of the two central places in Shas where we're going to be talking about the Gimel Chamuros, the three most severe Averis of the Torah, where one has to give up their life for those Averis. So it is discussed in the Gemara Sanhedrin in the 8th Perek and Daf Ayin Dalet, and right here in Psachim Chafhei. So those are the two central locations at the end of Brachos. We discussed it also a little bit with Rabbi Akiva. But meanwhile, here we are. And let's begin the Gemara's discussion on the Gimel Chamuros. We are on Chafei Amud Aleph. We're about two-thirds of the way down on the Amud. And we're continuing right where we left off. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol Misrapin. So let's say you need a refuah. Rachman is a person sick and he needs a refuah. So what kind of medicines can you use? You can use any medicines you want. The person's in critical condition. So you could use whatever refuah you want, whatever medicines you want, even if the medicines themselves are, let's say, asur b'achila, asur b'ana, you could use whatever you want, chutz me'atzei asherah, with exception to the wood that comes off of the asherah tree. Wood coming off the asherah tree, we discussed asherah a number of times, a tree that was planted for the purpose of avodah zarah. The Gemara in avodah zarah discusses how exactly are we going to know that it's an asherah tree, what exactly are going to be the telltale signs that allow us to conclude that a particular tree is an Asherah tree. The Gemara in Sukkah says that for an Asherah tree, an Asherah palm tree, so you cannot use the fronds of that palm tree for the mitzvah of Dalaminim. So over here, if you have wood from the Asherah tree, and it is a therapy, so you're not allowed to use it, even if your life is going to be in the balance. The Gemara makes this point very clear. Hey Chidami, the Gemara wants to know, how would exactly this work? So if there's a sakana, if it's the person's in critical condition, so shouldn't I be able to use the atzei ashera? And if there's no sakana, so then you can't use something which is prohibited. Meaning if all we're talking about is just simply a headache, so you can't ingest, you can't eat non-kosher for just a headache. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Where is this point where I could use whatever Isra I want, but I can't use Atzei Asherah? So the Gemara clarifies, La'olam de'ika sakana. So the Gemara says that the person's in critical condition, and you still can't use atzei ashera. How do I know that? The Tanya. The Gemara over here quotes the following brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im nemar b'chol nafshecha, lama nemar b'chol melodecha, v'im nemar b'chol melodecha, lama nemar b'chol nafshecha. First parak of Kriyashma. So the Torah says that our avas Hashem, our love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to be b'chol me'odecha, b'chol avavcha, b'chol avavcha, chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. Now, chol avavcha is all your heart. Now, the Gemara goes, the Gemara moves right by that point. Chol nafshecha, even with your life. B'chol me'odecha, even with all your money. Why does the Torah have to describe your avas Hashem to that degree? So if a person who loves his body more than his money, so the Torah says, okay. So even though your person, your own guf, is something that you love a lot, even more than your own money, which, by the way, probably describes the vast majority of humanity. So under those circumstances, you have to give up your nefesh. Now there are people who love his money more than their guf. Now, admittedly, that's a really unusual comment of the Gemara over here. Somebody who loves his money more than his guf. There are plenty of people who love their money, but more so than their guf. And logically, of course, that makes no sense whatsoever, right? Your money or your life. You know what? I'd rather have my money. You'll take my life. Okay, so you just lost both. You lost your life and your money. Admittedly, the language of the Gemara over here is really strange, but the point of the Gemara, however, is really clear. And that is for Avas Hashem, for love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to give up everything. So the Kach Nemar B'chol Me'odecha. Okay, and Avas Hashem in this context means that you're not allowed to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. So since you're not allowed to be Ovid Avodah Zarah and you must give up your life so that you don't violate Avodah Zarah, so for that you're not allowed to be Misrape Ba'aseh Asherah. Now there's a very long discussion to be had. And I'm not going to have the long discussion. It's the daf. But I'll just simply bring it up. And that is, atzei asherah. So are you right now currently worshipping Avodah Zarah by using the atzei asherah as a refuah? Of course not. Meaning right now, you just simply want to get better. And it happens to be that the only therapy, the only medicine available is the wood of the atzei asherah, which somehow is providing the only therapy available. But you're being Ovid Avodah Zarah. You're not being Ovid Avodah Zarah. It happens to be that you're using it. So how is this a violation of Avodah Zarah in which the Gemara said unequivocally that one has to give up their life for it? Okay, so it's a really big question. It demands an answer, and the time right now does not allow for like a proper treatment of the subject. But obviously it's a major issue. One thing I'll point out to is Tosfos right here on our Amud. So Tosfos over here on the bottom of the Amud. So he describes how. If you use the Atzei Asherah, so what's going to end up happening is that if, in fact, it provided therapy to you, now you're going to say to yourself, oh, really, the Atzei Asherah provided me a therapy? Oh, my gosh, it must be that there's some sort of power to this God, right? The God lowercase g, meaning this Avodah Zarah, and you're going to be nimshach, and you're going to be drawn by it. Okay, that's Tosus's description of why it is that you must give up your life, even though you're not worshipping the Atzei Asherah, you're just simply using and benefiting the Atzei Asherah. There's a lot more to this particular question and answer, but right now we're going to go on in the Gemara. Ki asa Rav and Amar of Yochanan. B'chol mitzrapim chutz me'avodah zarah v'gilareis v'shichas damim. In terms of a refuah, a person is in critical condition and needs a refuah, so you can violate any issur that you want, with exception to avodah zarah gilareis v'shichas damim, the gimel chamura. So, and the Gemara goes on to explain, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Avodah zarah hadamaran. So as far as avodah zarah is concerned, so we already introduced ourselves to the drasha earlier. You got to give up everything for Avas Hashem, and Avas Hashem is the antithesis to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so you got to give up everything for Avodah Zarah, and if a person has to give up his life, he must do so for Avodah Zarah. Okay, now next, Gilu Arayis v'Shvichas Damim, Detanya. Now, as far as Gilu Arayis and Shvichas Damim is concerned, sexually illicit relations and murder. So the Gemara here quotes the Brisa. Rabbi Omer, ki kasher yakum isha al reu tzacho nefesh, kein hadavar hazeh. The Torah gives a description of the Nara Marasa, who is about to be violated. And the Torah goes on to describe in Parshas Kisetze, where if a person is available to save her, to rescue her from being violated. The Nara Amara, so she's a married woman, right? An act of relations with her from another man would be a violation of Eishes Ish. So because it's Gilui Arayos, and it's also and there's also going to be Pagam, there's also going to be a diminishment of her. So therefore, the Torah allows somebody to come in and intercede and to stop the man from doing so. And as we're going to see in just a moment, even if it means that you're going to you have to kill the potential violator. Anyway, the Torah over there describes that, you know, if he ends up violating her, so for him now who violated the Isser of Eishes Ish, so he's going to be put to death again with due process of, obviously, were there witnesses and there was a Sra'ah. And as far as she's concerned, so you don't do anything to her, she was violated. She was an anusa, right? The classic definition of being an anusa. And so you don't do anything to her. And then the Torah goes on to describe ki kaasher. This is the pasuk the Gemara is quoting over here. Ki kaasher yakum ish arei ritzacho nefesh kena davar zeh. You know, it's like murder, meaning that when a person murders another person, so you don't do anything to the victim. Well, right now, as far as the victim is concerned, the victim is no longer alive. But obviously, he's a victim, right? He is not a participant in the act. He's a victim. And the Torah says same thing with the woman who's being violated. She is a victim, and so therefore, obviously, she doesn't have any kind of liability, responsibility for the action. She's a victim. That's the psukim in the Torah. And clearly, the Torah is trying to make a point by linking together the victim of an act of ones, of rape, and that of shvichas damim. And now, by the way, just it got to be very clear, right? The parsha over there is not describing just rape. The parsha over there is describing it's gilui arayos, meaning she's a married woman. So the discussion of rape in of itself, third parak of Ksuvah, the Gemara spends an entire parak discussing that topic over there. But anyway, but what do we see over here? Hareza ba'alame, we're back to the Gemara. Hareza ba'alame, v'nitzal lameid. So by the Torah putting together those two halachos of the Nara Marasa and Oshichas Damim, so obviously what the Torah is trying to do is communicate a point, actually in two directions. Mekish Rotzech L'Nara Marasa. So Ma Nara Marasa Nitan La'atzila B'Nafsho, Af Rotzech Nitan La'atzila B'Nafsho. So when it comes to Nara Marasa, so you can go ahead and you could save her. Even if it means that you're going to be killing the potential rapist, you could do so. However, not however, wrong conjunction. And you're right, and the same thing is going to be true regarding a rotzeach. If somebody is going to be a rotzeach, so you have the right to intercept and intercede, and you could stop him from doing so. Otherwise known as the halach of rodef. Fine. And nara marasa me rotzeach, and we're also going to learn in the other direction. Ma rotzeach yaharig val yavor, af nara marasa tereg val tavor. So when it comes to rotzeach, so yereg val yavor, someone tells you that you must perform ritzicha, if not you yourself are going to be killed. So over there, the halacha is you must give up your life. So the same thing is true when it comes to Nara Marasa. If someone points a gun to your head and says that you must be with that married woman, and if not, I'm going to kill you, so you have to allow yourself to be killed. In other words, this is now the source of the halacha that a person must give up his life rather than violate the Isser of Gilui Arayos. And there's one more step over here in this discussion, Shvichas Damim Gufei Minalan. How do I know that a person has to give up his life rather than kill somebody? So the Gemara says, Svarahu, the Gemara says it's an argument, a logical argument. Ki Ahu Das Lakami de Rava, and somebody goes in front of Rava and asks him the following question. Amar Le, Mare Dure Amar Li, if let's say the governor, the non-Jewish governor, would say to me, Zil Katleila Palnaya, go and kill somebody. The Ilo Katlin Alach, otherwise I'll kill you. Amar Le, Lik Toloch Velo Tiktol. And Rava's answer is super clear. And that is, you have to give up your life and do not kill. My chaz is the dama didcha sumak tfei. Dilma damia deu gavra sumak tfei. How do you know your blood is redder than his blood? Maybe his blood is redder than your blood. In other words, in terms of establishing, trying to assess the value of life, there's no way that we're going to be able to properly assess whose life is more important than somebody else's life. And so therefore, if it's a question of you committing the act of murder or you allowing yourself to be killed, so you can't kill somebody to save yourself. You don't know whose life has more value, and so therefore you must allow yourself to be killed rather than kill somebody else. Okay. The Gemara over here, this is it. This is the basic Gemara that discuss the requirement to give up one's life for the averis of Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, and Gilui Arayos. And all this came up over here because on the Amud Aleph, so the Gemara had a discussion of whether or not one can heal themselves from Atzei Asherah. The Gemara's conclusion is unequivocally no, and it ties to the halachas of one has to give up their life for the Gimel Chamuras, Avodah Zarah being one of the Gimel Chamuras. I'll mention one other point before we continue on the Gemara and finish today's daf and conclude today's daf, and that is the Gemara over here. If you're reading the Gemara really carefully, which you know I ran through it a little too quickly, but if you read the Gemara really carefully, so you'll notice that the Gemara says that just like by Shvichas Damim, one has to give up their life. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's just take a look at the Lashon of the Gemara. So Ma Ritzich Ye Harig Val Yavor, just like by Ritzicha, right 10 lines down. Just like by Ritzicha Ye Harig Val Yavor, you have to allow yourself to be killed and not kill somebody. Af Nara Amurasa Te Harig Val Tavor. So by Nara Amurasa, the same thing. Give up your life rather than violate the Avera. Now, if you'll notice when I read the Gemara, so what I said is that he has to give up his life rather than violate the Isser of Gilui Arayos. Now, if you read the Gemara carefully, it says Te Areg Val Tavor, so that is grammatically talking about the woman, not the man. It means that she has to give up her life as well. Now, if you'll notice Tosfos over here on the top of the Amud, so Tosfos says, no, that's not the way to read the Gemara. In fact, you can see it even in the Dibur HaMaskal, Tosfos has a different girsa. Af Nara Amarasa Ye Hareg Val Yavor, Tosfos over here says that it's with a Yud, not with a Tav, meaning, and Tosfos says a Beferish, meaning we don't have to read the Dibur HaMaskal of Tosfos so carefully. He goes on to say, Perish HaBoel, that when it comes to the man, he has to give up his life, meaning gun to your head, and the choice is to have relations with a married woman, so he must give up his life rather than have relations. That's specific to the man. Aval hi tiba el velo te'areg. But a gun pointed to her head, and the ultimatum is that either she will be a passive participant in the act of arayos, or she will be killed. So she can be a passive participant. Why? So Tosfos over here says the karka olam mikadam rabbi mensura mora. So this Gemara over here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, introduces us to the idea of karka olam, that when a woman is passively involved, she doesn't have to give up her life. Now this also is a really important point and a point of subtlety, meaning that for her passive participation in the act of bia, so that for sure is going to be an act of arayos, meaning that for the woman, that is not, that is her normal position in the act of arayos, in the act of bia, and for sure it's going to be the avera of gilui arayos, meaning a man and a woman are involved in an adulterous relationship. So you don't say, well, because she's passive, therefore she didn't violate the avera. No, of course she violated the avera, even though she's in a passive position. But nevertheless, vis-a-vis the halachas of giving up her life, she doesn't have to give up her life. Meaning, for giving up your life, this is a chiddush of Tosfos. It's a great chiddush of Tosfos. But for giving up your life, you have to be doing something actively, like killing somebody. But if it's something which is just a passive action, I know that was ironic. But to violate the Isser, it doesn't require you to do anything. It's all passive, like the woman's participation in Bia. So for that, she doesn't have to give up her life. Tosfos over here quotes a couple of Gemaras that really clearly articulate this point, notably the Gemara in the beginning of Ksuvos. Again, this is it's a much longer discussion, but nevertheless, though, just to clearly point out that Tosfos over here is of the opinion that who must give up their life rather than not violate Gilui Arayos? It's the man, not the woman, because of this idea of Karka Olam, which again, it's a much longer discussion, but in the meantime, however, the highlights of the Tosfos. Okay, let's finish up our daf. We are a little bit less than halfway down in the Amud. The Mar Bar Ravashi. Mar Bar Ravashi Ashkech El Ravina. So Mar Bar Ravashi finds Ravina the Shaifle Labarte Bigu Harke Da Arla. And so what he's doing is that he's putting some sort of ointment on his daughter, and he's using some sort of sap of the Arla fruit. Now, of course, Arla, as we already established here in this parak, is Asur Bachila and Asur Bahana'a, and his daughter needed the therapy. Apparently, the sap of a really new fruit is going to be therapeutic, and so he does so. So Amalei Emodam Rabbanu B'Shasa Sakana. So now, Mar Bar Avashi now is being critical of Ravina. And he says, I don't understand what you're doing. I understand that if it's Shasakana, that if we're talking about where she's in critical condition, so you're allowed to do that. But Shloba Shasakana Miyamor. But over here, Mar Bar Avashi is right now giving a medical opinion, and that is he thinks that this is not so critical. It's a therapy, but it's not providing for her any kind of care that will save her life. So Amarle. So first thing Ravina says back to Mar Bar Avashi is number one, you have a medical opinion. That's wonderful. I also have a medical opinion. So Amarle Hai Ishta Tzimirta Nami Kishasa Sakana Damya. Look, she's running a fever. And and I think that's a shasa sakana. I think we're talking about critical care over here. And so therefore, any aver can be violated. Again, notable exception of atzei ashera, like we pointed out in the Amud Aleph. But for all other yisurim in the Torah, so v'chai behem. Obviously, life is going to be paramount. And so therefore, you violate any of the yisurim. So first of all, I medically disagree with you. I think we're talking about critical care over here. And that's number one. And ikadami amale midi derech anaka vidna. And counterpoint number two is that that this is not the way that it's normally done. Rashi over here says la'achar sheizbashlu v'yotzei shmeinah bebeis habad. Right after it becomes ripe and the oil comes out in the press, and this is something which is shelo kederech anah. This is an unusual fashion, and since it's an unusual fashion, so it's no longer nisur daraisa. As we pointed out already a couple times, meaning certainly sounds like there's some iser that's involved. The only thing the Gemara says is that your putter, right? That's the language of the Gemara that we saw in yesterday's daf, again in today's daf as well. So it sounds like there's some iser involved, but it certainly, when it's shalok derech anas, when it's done in unusual fashion, it certainly gets downgraded. And for refuah and for treatment, even if it's not life-threatening, but you could be more makel. And so Ravina says point number one. Well, there are two versions of what Ravina's answer is. But version number one is that I think it's critical care. I think her condition is really serious. And number two is that since this is a benefit that's done in an unusual fashion, so therefore it is going to be a mutter under these circumstances, even if the care is not critical, even if it's just a simple therapy. But nevertheless, it's shloka derech anasa, and therefore it would be okay. We'll stop over here. Even though we still got a good half amma to go, but it's a new topic, and we'll start fresh tomorrow morning with a new topic. Anyway, let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, we start off with the chiddush of Abaye. Abaye says that for Kalai Akerem, one were to be benefiting from Kalai Akerem, even in an unusual fashion, one is going to be, one is still going to be violating the Isser Torah of getting benefit from Kalai Akerem. Why? Because Abaye says that by Kalai Akerem, the Torah does not say, don't eat it, lo sochal, but rather the Torah says, pentikdash hamaleya, it has to be burnt. So that means to say that the Isser Hana'a is coming to via to us in the Torah in an unusual fashion, and therefore, the Chiddush is that afilu shelo kederech anasa, one would be violating an Isser Torah, subject to the Malkus penalty. The Gemara challenges Abaye based on a Braisa, comparing Basi B'chalav to Trefa, Arla, Chametz v'Pesach, and eventually Klai HaKerem, and we noted that in the comparison of Basar B'chalav to Klai HaKerem, so we noted that the Braisa does not mention a word about this point of Abaye, that you know by Klai HaKerem, afilu shelo kederech anasa, it would be a problem, and so why didn't the Braisa do that? So Abaye's defense is very good, right, seemingly very good, and he said, what do you mean, we're comparing Klai HaKerem to Basar B'chalav? Just like Klai HaKerem is Asr Afilu Shalok Kederech Anasa, the same thing is true by Basar B'chalav. Because by Basar B'chalav, the Torah there does not mention Achila as well. The Torah says, Lo Savasho Gedi B'chalev Imam. Good. So Abaye defends his position, and that was point number one of today's daf. Point number two of today's daf is that even though there are many Isuri Hana'a, but when it comes to a person's critical care, if the person is in a state of Sakana, so all those things that are Asr B'ana'a, so you're allowed to use them in order to save your life. So with notable exception of Atzei Ashera, which then allows the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Chafei, to talk about the Gimel Chamuros, meaning that for three Averos, one has to give up their life. Gilu Arai, Shri Chazamim, Avodah Zarah. The Gemara goes through the sourcing of how we know that the Gimel Chamuros, that one has to give up their life. So there's one source for Avodah Zarah, and then a Hekesh as it relates to Gilu Arai, Shri Chazamim. that we went through this morning as well. And finally, we concluded with Ravina and Marber Ravashi. Ravina had a daughter. He used Arla in order to provide a therapy for her. She was sick. And Marber Ravashi was critical of his behavior. And to that, he made 2 points. Number one, she's in critical condition. Right? You think she's not, but I think she is. And number two is that even if she's not in critical condition, but the benefit that I'm receiving from the Arla, Shaloka Derech HaNasan, it's an unusual fashion. And so therefore, under this circumstance, it would be mutter.